Galactic Interstellar Council on Revolution Radio Studio A, Fridays at 2 p.m. Eastern. Join us as we traverse the starseed paradigm. As expressed in the time-space continuum that we know as the divine expression of love and light. Integrating this conscious unity into the galactic paradigm. So welcome all, both terrestrial beings and galactic beings as one. So be it. You're listening to Revolution Radio.
Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. Any commercial advertising you may hear in this program is of the sole discretion and benefit of the host of this program you are listening to. Revolution Radio does not endorse any commercial products, nor does it accept monetary compensation for on-air advertising of commercial products, nor will it ever. We are and shall remain 100% listener supported. Any product advertising on this program are considered used at higher risk, and Revolution Radio shall not be held liable for any claims or damages received from any product advertised within this program. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
Well, this is Jim Fetzer, your host on The Raw Deal. This Labor Day, 4th of September, 2023, I've just received a set of about a dozen links to videos about Maui and the use of directed energy, and I'm going to share a sampler of these and comment on them. Now, I've not watched them before, but I'm impressed with what we appear to have here. We start on that's a wrong link. Let's try another. Here we go. This is here we go.
Sites in the U.S. that have these directed energy weapons. One is Nevada and the other is Maui. Let's start with this directed energy Air Force Maui optical and supercomputing AMIS site located on the island of Maui. May I quote from the website? Listen to this. Directed energy harnesses the power of the electromagnetic spectrum to enable airmen to effectively and affordably strike critical targets at the speed of light. Question, why Maui? Answer, it's a new smart grid in Hawaii dubbed the, quote, Jump Smart Maui Project. Did you know that there are two sites in the U.S. that have these directed energy weapons? One is Nevada and the other is Maui. Let's start with this directed energy Air Force Maui optical and supercomputing AMIS site located on the island of Maui. May I quote from the website? Listen to this. Directed energy harnesses the power of the electromagnetic spectrum to enable airmen to effectively and affordably strike critical targets at the speed of light. Question. Why Maui? Answer. It's a new smart grid in Hawaii dubbed the, quote, Jump Smart Maui Project.
Yeah, that was all there was to that one. I thought there was probably more. Here we go. This is a family.
Whoa. You would never do that to your gun, would you? Of course not. Doing that to your gun.
Here we go. They're filming. You see massive devastation.
That's metal, too.
That's what most of the roofs here are made out of. Like, I can't believe the firemen aren't here blowing this out.
I know. I don't know what's going on.
Well, there's no cell service. There's no internet.
But right, but this fire is huge.
Yeah. Like, it's just jumping everywhere.
I'm sure they know it's here, right?
Look at this.
Like, this is... Oh, fuck.
Right, let it burn. Just get out of there.
It took us like 30 minutes to get out of our neighborhood. It usually takes us, you know, turning out of your neighborhood doesn't take long.
All right, everybody, let's go. It's go time.
Did you have a to-go bag ready or just
yeah.
stuff?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So you'd already
had to-go bag is ready because we knew maybe worst case scenario, just in case, you know, we packed a few things just like, you know, bare essentials. And if thankfully, I mean, we thought, because we saw the fire and we're like, this might get really bad, so I grabbed like my ID, the cash I had on me, my diploma, my phone, chargers, tons of water, like 12 water bottles I fit in my backpack. So my backpack was pretty heavy, but we just grabbed everything that was in immediate need.
How'd you guys end up at the waterfront? Like, what led you guys there? Were you just being chased by the fire? And that's what
Yeah, we're just being chased because we tried to get back in our car and try to drive away from it, and then we just got trapped from the people getting out of their car. So we just jumped in the water because we were right next to it.
Got it. It's all you.
Thank God.
They have a second video. They wound up fleeing into the ocean in order to save themselves. The police were blocking exit.
Captain, I talked to him. We hung out at his roof for about an hour, and he said, I'm packing up my kids and leaving. I'm like, well, if you're leaving, I'm leaving.
I took, like, all my important stuff. We weren't too worried about it because it wasn't anything intense at that point. It wasn't coming of our neighborhood or anything.
In that moment, I don't think I thought that.
I thought we were gonna have to get out of the car and run away.
Yeah, because up at this, we'll show you the intersection. It was almost blocked, and we almost couldn't make it. We thought at that point we were gonna have to get out of the car and run.
That way is blocked.
Which way? Like if we're trying to go onto the poly.
We're fine.
We're gonna be all right.
It's traffic.
Oh no.
So you know.
Gonna be fine. The firemen are right here. They're not gonna let.
They're not gonna let anything.
You're gonna be okay, Milo.
We weren't the first in the water, but we were some of the first. I think like the first five.
And I was running about right there, and I just dived down like this. I had a shirt on, you know, and I fucking dived down and just did a belly flop. Things like this, because I know the air, you got to get down, you know what I mean?
So you were you just dove into the water there.
Yeah, right, lay down, because you stand up, they hit you, you're dead, they you go burst in the plant, you know what I mean? Like, fuck, I'm hoping, duh!
Was it just about this much water when you were in it?
Yeah.
And so that was enough, do you think, if that wasn't there, would you have survived without the water?
Nope, I don't think so.
Back at sea now.
Russia, with the help of China, is coming for us. And it's not a...
Well, let's see what else we got. Breakings, sailbook video documents, Bahamas orchestrated firestorms, must-see video. Well, let's see what we got here. sailboat documentary. Well, I can't get that video to play. Let's see what else we got. Shocking drone footage dedicated to those who perished. Let's check this out. This 4K aerial drone footage was shot on August 10th, 2 days after the fire. So this is the kind of thing they don't allow to take place now. They have established a no-fly zone. Just showing tremendous devastation. This must be a relatively small, slow-flying drone. But while you'll, those who see the video version will benefit, clearly. Now it's gaining elevation. Wow. More. Let's see. Here's a bicycle ride through the damage of bicycle ride.
About 6:30 in the morning. Just going to take a quick video from one end to the other. This is starting at Jodo Mission by Baby Beach, which is gone. And I'll head down Front Street.
Just the utter devastation, and yet the trees are there. Here are some homes that are completely undamaged. More undamaged homes. As I say, this is a bicycle ride. Let's see what else we've got here. A motorcycle ride.
Stop exhausting yourself with the old axe and use the Carlton Hardware firewood drill bit.
Again, dedicated to those who perished. Unbelievable 4K footage. See all of La Haina Town, fire devastation, almost every street. Beginning at the waterfront, total devastation. Let's see what else we have here. Maui, evidence of directed. Oh, this is one we've seen before. Get this.
Hi, guys. Eric West here, HawaiiRealEstate.org, coming to you live from the Hainaluna neighborhood, Maui, Hawaii. Citizens, impromptu reporter, wasn't planning on doing this, but this is what we're doing, and I'm thankful to have a Starlink from David Crawford, and we're here reporting on what I believe is potentially a smoking gun of sorts. We just don't know what it is, but I'm going to show you the scenario of this car and what's surrounding it and how temperatures could reach this level, creating this amount of melting of aluminum. I'm here with Donovan. He is, a hero of sorts. Aloha, Donovan. He was the one that brought it to my attention that we have these very strange occurrences. We just shot down on the highway. I don't know if it was actually live, but we have it all recorded, so we're going to post it. We're at another one of these locations. So this is well above the burn zone, essentially, in a neighborhood known as Lahaina Luna. I'm going to show you around real quick so you can see the scenario and then judge for yourself. And again, if you enjoy content like this, I encourage you to please like the channel, subscribe, and share the video so you can get the truth of what's going on here at Maui. So where I'm at right now, just to orientate you, you can see the lights for the football stadium right there at Lahaina Luna. So So we're right below Lahaina Luna High School in the neighborhood that did not, I repeat, did not burn. You can see all these houses are standing around here, unburned. There's no burn here, okay? So to me, this is like something out of a space movie, because you have this small field with some grass that burned, right? You can see where the grass burned. But then you have these two vehicles sitting in here that have melted aluminum. So, Donovan, if you want to just take us through this car real quick and show us, I know you know a few things about cars. You can point out some things that require a very high temperature. By the way, we just talked to the neighbor who was talking to an investigator in Lahaina Town yesterday, and he said the investigator told him the temperatures reached in excess of 3,000 degrees. So tell us what you got, Donovan.
Well, we have about 300 degrees for aluminum, and this aluminum...
300?
1,300.
1,300, okay, thank you.
1,300, well, 1,220, but if you round it up, because it was not only melted, it was liquefied to the point where it became a river of aluminum going down the dirt hill.
So this is the aluminum rim, obviously. There's the tire, what's left of it, the steel threads or steel belts.
And maybe combination gas tank if the gas tank's aluminum.
Okay. So you have liquefied aluminum running down the side of a grass fire.
The caliper melted, unless they stole it. But it looks like the bolts are still there. So... that, and then you get the belt, the steel belt of the tire, which is just a bunch of a wire mesh laying there. And you have the windows that were melted, the back window. If you look at the big old, like, almost like...
the glass is just melted.
Yeah, it was
ripping.
There's about a 1,000-degree difference between the temperature of a wildfire, a grass fire, might get up to around 450. If you've got a raging forest, you know, of massive trees, it could get much higher. But the melting point of aluminum is about 1,000 points higher, around 1,400. So we got a serious discrepancy. This guy has another video. I'll play a few minutes of it, too, since we get past the ads.
Because this is nuts. Like, when you see this, you're just going to be like... it's going to break science. If you're a scientist and you understand anything about temperatures and melting points, what we're about to show you is going to change, in my opinion, the whole direction of this entire investigation, from what I'm being led to believe, and it just makes logical sense, right?
Yeah, it's almost like there's an incinerator nearby and they just dropped the car off.
Right, so I'm going to turn the camera on what we're walking up on right now. I want you to notice there's a vehicle that's been here since the beginning. It wasn't dropped off here, obviously.
Look at the chairs not melted.
You can see here there's
sitting in the middle.
This is the highest the burn got. Right here. It did not cross the highway. If you look over here, this is the bypass. You can see none of that grass is burned over there. So start to draw some logical conclusions.
Oh, look at it.
We're going to show you some more things as we're walking along here.
How did that not disappear?
If this melted, how did that cone not completely disappear? Because if you look at this vehicle, and I want you to notice the burn, the amount of grass, as you can see, that burned in the char marks. This car is basically completely surrounded by gravel. And you can see a small little flames right here when this grass burned. Yet, when you turn and look right in this direction, besides seeing Dylan, my technical cameraman, you can see this car. And for all you scientists out there that have been sending me images and you're asking me if they're real, I'm here to tell you, in Jesus' name, what we're showing you is real, live on YouTube. So if you enjoy content like this, we ask you to please immediately like this, share this, and subscribe to the channel. Why? Because you are our only hope of getting this out to the world through the YouTube algorithm. This is a tire that is gone. These are the braids of steel inside the tire. Look at this particular rim. Is it safe to say these are aluminum?
Look at the windshield. What's that?
Are these aluminum?
Yeah, that's cast aluminum wheels.
Cast aluminum wheel, you can see that it melted.
And the windshield on the
inside?
Look
at the windshield. That is a windshield right there that is completely melted. We have some jumper cables in the back of the vehicle, or we have some cast.
And the temperature to melt glass is even higher. I got a pretty damn interesting article here published by Edward Hendry. Expert forensic arborist, that's a tree expert, explains that unburned trees are clear evidence Lahaina was hit by directed energy weapons. An expert offers his opinion that directed energy weapons were used to immolate Lahaina due to the nature of the damage. Aluminum wheels and glass are melted, but plastics and trees are unburned. Robert Brame is a forensic arborist with more than 38 years of experience. In the video below, he takes us through the evidence indicating the Lahaina immolation was not a natural fire. He opines that it was some kind of directed energy weapon using microwaves. Most notably, he points out the Lahaina trees appear stressed, probably dead or dying, but the branches and leaves did not burn. He points out that the trees have had the moisture sucked out of them, much less like a microwave oven does to a piece of bread. He makes note of the fact that the windows in the cars are all melted. That would be impossible for wildfire, which burns at, now he's talking about a high temperature of 1447 Fahrenheit, but that's really extraordinarily high. It would take a temperature of at least 2,500 degrees Fahrenheit to melt glass. So even if you had that higher temp, we're talking about another 1,000 degrees. So we're 1,000 or 2,000 degrees away from, you know, bringing about these effects, given the purported cause. Many of the cars are nowhere near any source of fuel that could burn at that temperature. Even gasoline would not burn that temperature. A hydrocarbon fire in the atmosphere burns at a max of 1,517 degrees Fahrenheit. Brame has personally navigated more than 100 alleged fire fires. He opines from his on-the-scene observation that 35 wildfires he investigated were caused by directed energy weapons. I repeat that. Get this. He's investigated more than 100 alleged firefighters, and based upon his on-scene observation beliefs, 35 of those he's investigated, that's about a third, were caused by directed energy weapons. And this is happening all over the place, with a primary electromagnetic energy being in the microwave frequency. He offers that opinion due to the nature of the damage, where metals are destroyed and wood and plastics are not burned unless they were in close proximity to a dense metal. Directed energy weapons involve a range of focused energy technology, including but not limited to lasers, microwaves, sound beams, and particle beams. The U.S. Air Force Research Laboratory Directed Energy Directorate explains the two classes of DE, directed energy weapons, high-energy lasers, and high-powered microwave systems, give the Air Force the capability to engage targets at substantial range with precision and reduce collateral damage. In high-energy laser systems, rather than using a kinetic weapon as a bullet or a bomb, a laser beam creates an effect on a target. High-powered microwave systems transmit short, extremely high power bursts of energy to create a wide range of effects on a target, all of electronics. Directed energy weapons were deployed to destroy the World Trade Center towers on 9/11. I explain their use in my book, 9/11 Enemies Foreign and Domestic. This is Edward Hendry now. Read Judy Wood's analysis of the evidence proving directed energy weapons were used. Where I've explained, I'm open to them having been a supplement, but the primary mechanism to destroy the Twin Towers were mini-nukes. The government, Hendry writes, is nothing but force. We must look at money powers behind the scene who really control the force of government. The 9/11 attack using directed energy was a first salvo in the new war for world dominion. The powerful Zionists who control the U.S. government are ramping up their attacks on the U.S. through directed energy. They're doing so under the cover story of wildfires caused by mythical climate change. Now, just notice there the additional incentive then for introducing the concept of climate change to serve as a cover story to explain away these devastating effects. The most notable fact is that palm trees survived the fires. Palm trees are particularly susceptible to ignition. They are like dried grass. A small flame will cause a dried frond to ignite in seconds. Yet we find unburned palm trees that survived an alleged wildfire that immolated houses and cars. The trees are wilted because the microwave-directed energy weapon sucked the moisture out of the trees, but they did not burn. Much like how moisture is cooked out of bread in a microwave oven, that is clear evidence that the immolation of Lahaina was from directed energy weapons. We do have a video with him. We're about to hit the break. I'll start and then continue after.
All right. Aloha, everyone. Michelle with Blossom Inner Wellness and StandTogetherHawaii.com. And I am so excited about interviewing Robert today. He has been, most of his life, he's been a botanist for 48 years and studying trees. And I let him give you...
Be right back.
Radio at freedomslips.com. We'll be right back after this message.
Management would like to take a moment to thank the listeners and hosts for all their support that has made Revolution Radio one of the biggest platforms for free speech in an ever-growing dark world of censorship. Unfortunately, this platform for free speech has never been free. We need the support of the people. It is the people like you, yes, you, that keeps the station in the front lines of the battle against tyranny and oppression. Please help support Revolution Radio so free speech will not be silenced in a world that seems to be going deaf to the real truth. With your support, we will be able to become an even bigger pillar of light in a dark world.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Revolution Radio.
Hey, everyone. It's Barbara Jean Lindsay, the Cosmic Oracle. If you have questions about your past lives or future plans, need answers from the cosmos about your love life or career, or just want to keep your finger on the pulse of the planet, check out my show, The Cosmic Oracle, here on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com.
Revolution Radio every Wednesday 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Studio B for Momentary Zen with host Zen Garcia at freedomslips.com, the People Station.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates. You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Now, bear in mind, this is a tree expert. He's investigated over 100 alleged wildfires. He found 35 of them were brought about by directed energy. This is a different take, but highly authoritative. We begin again.
All right. Aloha, everyone. Michelle with Blossom Inner Wellness and StandTogetherHawaii.com. And I am so excited about interviewing Robert today. He has been, most of his life, he's been a botanist. For 48 years, he's been studying plants and trees. And I'm going to actually let him give you his background. But we're going to be talking about, he's also been studying, how many locations have you gone to or pictures have you studied over the past, 7 years? You gave a number when I saw your interview last.
I've been to 38 fire aftermaths, mostly in California, a few in Southern Oregon, and taken 107 trips to all of them. So I've done a lot of footwork collecting evidence at every site, except perhaps three that I deemed were normal forest fires that we know of. All the rest
else. Wow. So, yeah, something else. So, Robert, just share a little bit more about your background, and we'll just start from there.
Well, I started learning plants in the late 60s from my mom. And when I turned 15, I had horticulture classes and forestry classes in high school. And I've never stopped learning about the plant kingdom. 48 years now of learning trees, shrubs, vines, wildflowers and ferns, mostly California natives, but many imported around the world to our residential homes. And I think before I left high school, I knew every tree in California, which isn't all that hard. and then became an arborist for 20 years and let that lapse because I was going beyond some of the areas they wanted to talk about and reclassified myself with my own term, forensic arborist. Because that's what I feel I am now. I've been to 38 aftermaths, like I said, and 107 trips to all these in the last 7 years. And somewhere along the line, I was designing a hike up north in Santa Rosa, maybe an hour away. And some pictures came up on the internet that didn't compute to me. And when I share my screen here, I'm going to show you some of those.
So that was about 7 years ago.
7 years ago.
You saw a fire and you're just like, what? That doesn't look normal. So just go ahead. Share your screen.
And
as you do that, I'm going to shut this glass door for sound, but keep going.
Okay. What I saw was something that didn't make sense to me. I saw this picture of Santa Rosa, California. This came up on my computer screen because I'm looking for hikes and waterfalls and such. And this came up and, yeah, all the houses are missing their white ash, but what are all the trees doing there? Many of these are pines and eucalyptus and very flammable leaves. It just made no sense to me. I've got a background of cooking on campfires for my entire adult life, from sea level to 12, 13,000 feet in the Sierra. I've burned everything, and everything burns in a tiny campfire. And this is a horrific firestorm, they said. Why are all the trees still there? So it didn't work well for me. And I waited a couple months and I went up there after things died down and I analyzed every street I could for 8 hours. Nothing, I mean nothing, added up. I've never seen anything like in my life. I was completely baffled. And we'll get into the materials and the fine tuning of this in a minute here. But when I see forest fires, the trees are burned up, the needles are gone, the twigs are gone, many of the branches are gone. Sometimes the trunk is burned down halfway or all the way to a low stump and even holes in the ground. That's the way they burn. No exception. They don't leave their needles on there. With their needles on there, how do we even call it a forest fire? The forest didn't burn. So I saw that, and shortly after my journey, I saw this picture on the internet from a drone, possibly, and I see these buildings, a Jack in the Box, McDonald's, and a gas station, and they're just completely burned, leaving only metals and stone. But what I see is the trees. All three species here are in the poison oak family, Chinese pistache or pistachio, African sumac, and Brazilian pepper. I'm sorry, Peruvian pepper, which is now called California pepper. All of them did not burn. And how did a fire cross a freeway? This is Highway 101 in the Santa Rosa area. You got 200 yards of no trees before you get to these buildings, but yet they burned and nothing else. And anybody who's gone to a fast food, you notice there's no wood showing. It's all plastics and metals and slate and terracotta and newer building materials. Fires don't just start on these types of buildings, but yet there's the pictures. Even with the ambient heat from these buildings, it didn't do much to the trees. A few were brown, but I cannot say the trees burned up. And this happened again and again and again. And so I started analyzing fires everywhere. And somewhere along the line, I finally found a YouTube video of John Lord and Matt Dakin, who analyzed Paradise, California, on three different occasions.
And who are they?
They're both 30-year fire captains, one out of Petaluma and one out of San Ramon. They were good friends, and they saw what I saw. They did five good videos with Shelley. You can find them on YouTube. And they saw all the anomalies that I saw, so I left them a message on YouTube. They got back to me, and we got together and showed them all my work, and they said I was exactly right. And then over the last 4 or 5 years now, I've been educating them on what trees actually grow in California, which ones burn and which ones don't. Sadly, a year and a half ago, we lost John. He died of different types of problems. But they gave me a good start and introduced me to a lot of folks that know what's going on in these fire scenarios. So,
what do you think is going on in these fire scenarios when firefighters or captains are questioning things just the same as you are?
Yeah, when they get out and question them, not many of them, I think, will speak up because they're afraid of retribution somehow, either getting fired or something worse. Many of the top fire people know exactly what's going on. When you don't see the forest burn, but yet houses are, and some of these materials don't burn, you have to ask your question. You know, what is going on here? And many of the fire captains and other workers have said, we've never seen fires like this, or the fires were so hot we couldn't even get close to them to put them out. And they were also very hard to put out. And so over the years, I've come to different conclusions. I believe most of these fires are microwave-based. They're not normal wood fires that we know of. And I'll get into that later here.
Okay, thank you.
Many materials will not burn. And I have a saying I made up. All the materials that didn't burn should have, and all the materials that did burn shouldn't have.
That's true.
And I want to start up. This is in Maui now. I've taken some of the pictures off the internet here. So none of these Maui pictures are mine. And I'm going to expand on every one of these pictures. And this is the same stuff exactly that I've seen in California. No different. All the same fire footprints. Things that don't make sense. Here, a home's on fire and nothing else. And I believe that's because of all the metals, whether they're ferrous or non-ferrous, that are in a house. These things get hit. They burn, and it's rare to see a tree burn or any plant unless it's in very close proximity to the house. And I mean 10 or 15 feet. So this is common now. And here you have, it looks like a grove of eucalyptus trees. I'm not positive on the species. The whole left, they didn't burn. Meanwhile, the house is just gone. The cars, they all look like this. They'll be dented up. The windows will be melted out. Now, the auto glass melts approximately at 2,500 degrees.
Wow.
Forest fires don't get that hot. Forest fire goes up to 1,400.
Yeah, I was just going to say 1,400. And also the wheels are melting.
Yeah, I'm getting to that. And, unless you're adding different accelerants or really burning some hot wood, you're not getting above those temperatures. Perhaps here and there you would, but it would not melt these windows. You notice the doorknobs are always gone. The rims, they're an alloy or an aluminum. They melt out at 1,221 degrees. That doesn't happen. Your fires on the ground that are in the grass, if they're a couple inches off the ground, they're only 300 degrees. The two fire captains educated me on that. They never see rims melted out in a combined 60 years of service. Sometimes they'd get to a car late in the day because they were busy and the car fire was already out. The rim still didn't melt out. Yet, I've seen a good between 600 and 800 vehicles. If the rims are aluminum or alloys, they're always melted out, either in chunks like this one or in slowly flowing aluminum puddles that flow away like a river away from the vehicle. Windows and rims always gone unless they're metal rims. Let's see. So look at your organic matter. What kind of forest fire forgot all the trees?
And you said something about the eucalyptus before we started.
Yeah, eucalyptus is one of the most flammable or combustible leaves I know of. Here in the States, California, we have many species. And the blue gum is the one I see the most. I can pull the leaves off the tree, green, take a cigarette lighter, and light them on fire every time. And they burn pretty quick. If you put them in a small campfire, you better back up. These things, the oils in them are very flammable. And also your California bay tree, which is in your laurel family, along with camphor trees and avocado trees and many others. The California bay tree has a ton of oils. When I'm camping in the Bay Area, these are different parks, and I can hardly see my campsite. I want to find my way back to my tent. I grab some of those leaves, put them in my little campfire. Instantly, I've got big flames everywhere. In 7 years now, I've not seen one leaf of either species burn. Any eucalyptus species, and any of the California bay leaves, even when the leaves are hanging down on the ground where the fire is, they're not igniting.
Oh my gosh. So I'm curious about that because you said microwave waves to create fire create such a hot fire. That's so interesting of why they wouldn't burn, but that's a whole different topic. Go ahead and keep going.
All I can say is they don't recognize the organics, even though they're super hot. They seem to be much hotter than our regular wood fires, but for whatever reason, they're not recognizing organics. They turn everything brown. They suck the water out of it like it's in a microwave oven in your kitchen, leave them brown, a light shade of green, but it will not ignite them unless they're in close proximity to metals. Or
you're talking about the fire. The fire doesn't recognize the eucalyptus organism. Oh my gosh, the organics of that organism. Yeah. Wow.
It has to be in close proximity to your metals, whether they're ferrous or non-ferrous, like aluminum, or creeks and water. And I heard along the shore here, the water was on fire. And they made up a lame excuse that there's oil and diesel and all that. No, the water itself was on fire. And I haven't seen pictures of it, but I've already heard that. So your creek beds around here in California, I've noticed all the creek or water-loving trees have burned from the inside out. Cooked like in a microwave. And these are willows, cottonwoods, alder, birch, maple, madrone, and many others that really want to be close to a creek. Not one leaf will be burned on them, even when the leaves are on the ground, but they'll cook from the inside out where the highest water amount of holding capacity would be. Pines and more flammable trees are doing the same, but at a slower rate, even though the sap in many pines is more combustible than the water lovers by far. They're kind of last to burn. The needles will be brown everywhere, but they're not burned up. Wrong picture there. Okay. There it is. Here you look at all the houses. They're white ash. Where's the black? Where's the carbon? It's rare I see black. So you're thinking intense heat. Well, why are all the trees still there? They're a little thin, cooked again. Wow. I'm sure every one of them's dead. Perhaps some of the palm trees will come back. A palm tree is easy to light on fire. We've had a few car fires around here on the freeway or in a residential under a palm tree. They burn up in a second. They're like grass. They're thin with a little bit of dead fronds on them. They'll burn in seconds. Yet I look at them, they're kind of super wilted. They turn black, which I see that often. There's a black color to all these dead trees. Leaves are black like a slow-cooked marshmallow on your fire. It's kind of turning brown and dark black. And then if it doesn't ignite, these leaves just kind of wilt and turn dark colors. Another anomaly. They should all have been gone. With this kind of heat, everything should have been gone. Should have been stumps of trees. That didn't happen.
And it should be black, not white.
That's right. out of these 38 aftermaths I've been, 35 of them I deem were unnatural fires. Every house I've seen burn up, all of them have been burned to the ground, white ash. I have not seen much of any black anywhere. Once in a while, a 4x4 or something that's black, but they're all white ash, leaving walls, you know, brickwork, stone, and metals. Everything else is completely gone.
Yeah, the toilet, the fridge, the stove, which I've seen, you know, houses in wildfire, and the stove is there. It doesn't go to ash.
That's right. Dang it, that didn't come out either. This is the giant banyan tree I've heard about.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
Hopefully I've got another tree. Okay. Here you have a fire all the way around it. Even the boats were on fire. Yet the banyan tree is dead, it looks like, but it didn't burn up. I've got this here. After the fire, I see leaves everywhere and all the aerial roots coming down. They look kind of sagging and black, not necessarily burned up. And here's a wood pole to your left, whether it's a splint or I think there's lights on it. It was so hot, I forgot to burn the wood. Dry wood. Dead trees I've noticed that are dead before the fires, they're not burning. There's no moisture in them. And they should have burned.
Oh, my gosh.
So here's your wood 4x4. Didn't burn at all. It's doubtful this tree is going to grow back. I hope it does. I know there's an arborist over there looking at it. But if it's cooked from the inside out, it will not regenerate. And this is a ficus. You cut a ficus down, it grows back. Any fig tree, this is the way they're constructed. They're weeds. All the ficus are weeds. And here with your great soils and rainfall, it should sprout right back. But and I'm hoping it does, but I fear it probably won't. Here's a Jeep, I guess. Fires don't do this. The whole hood, it got so hot, the metal hood melted out. That's pushing 2,750 degrees. The rims have melted out in the street. What kept the aluminum melting 5 feet from the Jeep? There's no firewood there. There's no flames on the asphalt, yet it keeps flowing. They're completely gutted. Windows, wheels. This is common. Every fire aftermath I've gone to. I want to say this is impossible, but the two fire captains I know of, they say they've never seen vehicles in their whole career like this. Windows are never melted. They might break. They don't even sag. They break or shatter or fall out, but they don't melt. That's 2,500 degrees and up. They start to melt at 25, but to get them to really flow and fall down, you know, you're going to add another 100 degrees or more. Mm-hmm. So what could do that? You don't have enough fuel in this Jeep. And I don't mean gasoline. I mean the fuels, the plastics, the seats, the cushions. All that isn't enough to get this kind of burn. And they always say that. There's just no way this could happen. Not every single car I've seen in 7 years. No exceptions. Wow. That's the thing. No exceptions. If it happened to one, okay, that's an anomaly. But every single vehicle? Here you go with the eucalyptus, and there's some pines on the left also. House is missing, or a metal shop, whatever it is. I see dead trees, but a firestorm would have left sticks. There'd be no leaves on it. That's your fire. The leaves, like in California. Amazing what is going on. I just got these today. Here's some nice trees here. They're probably dead. And there's your car. Same old scenario. It's the same wherever I go.
So I have a question about the microwave energy.
Yep.
Have you looked into, like, I know that we've had direct energy weapons. Tesla founded the direct energy beam actually in the 1930s, right before he died when he was 80 years old. And we actually have a Direct Energy Weapons Act. And I think it was the act of 1976, I think it was. And there was actually a direct energy weapons, for lack of a better word, lab facility on Maui, which there's only two in the United States. One is in Nevada and one is in Maui. Have you researched the microwave energy?
Not entirely. I've read stuff. I've watched videos. Of course, they've got their trillion watt lasers, things like that. They always act like we don't have that technology yet, but we're working on it. Well, yeah, they're 20, 30, 40 years ahead of us, and they're just lying. Of course they've got it. This stuff, and this isn't happening from 5G or a plane passing over. We actually think, which sounds very far-fetched, we think they're coming from satellites because it's concentrated on an area for hours. Planes fly back and forth, and you wouldn't be able to hit at these angles. We don't think little drones are doing it, but I'm not ruling out any possibility. Matt, John, and I actually figured they're coming from satellites. When I was in my 20s, we had a president that was on national TV. He tells the world we're developing our Star Wars defense system. This is back in the 80s. Worst press history. He said that, and we all laughed at him. We're not laughing anymore. They've been working on this a long time, just like 9/11. The buildings didn't burn up and fall down. They disintegrated in midair. A technology so advanced we can't even comprehend it. And this is the same or very similar technology. The cars are the same as that day on 9/11. No different. Mm-hmm. And like I said, every vehicle I've seen in 7 years looks like this. No exceptions.
Wow. What did the fire chiefs, the fire captains, what did they say about the microwave energy? Did they say anything else about?
A lot over the years. I guess I've known them both for 5 years. And they did a lot of research. I've taken both of them to fire aftermaths, and also the great Deborah Trivaris. She happens to be a friend now. And I've taken her to analyze fire aftermaths. Mostly I do the education on the plant side of it. And even the windows and metals, I just got on the computer and did my own research to have those numbers. But they saw it. The two firemen saw it, and they have a lot to say about all these houses and cars and also what's going on shortly after the fire's out. Immediately, the big corporations jump in there, kind of a disaster capitalism effect, if you will. They repair the roads right away. They put in brand new telephone poles as fast as they can. They dig up the road and put in new culvert pipes that go under the road because they're metal. And I've got pictures of that in another preview. And they're replacing them with plastic pipes under the road. Now, normal forest fires wouldn't affect a metal pipe 3 to 6 or 10 feet underground. But maybe with these weapons, they do. And they don't want the road to collapse. So four or five different aftermaths, I've been looking for those. And sure enough, where the fire crossed the road, they pulled every pipe out, no matter what depth, and replaced them with either plastic or poured a cement one, you know. But never put metal back. And that's right here at Big Basin State Park, where all the redwoods were in California, where they closed the park for 2 years, and they replaced these pipes. So a lot stood out, and Mike and John have given me Matt and John have given me a lot of ideas when I go out in the field, and I call them a lot and tell them what I've found. And a good little group of us, the three of us working together. A wealth of information those two fire captains have. They know the track record of what cars look like and what they don't look like. But, you know, 60 years combined service, fire captains. So you look at this photo, and here's your palm trees. Why didn't all the leaves burn off in a microsecond? Show you what one cigarette lighter can do to a dead frond. Even the green ones, you got giant flames, they burn up. These buildings were burning for hours. The leaves on these things didn't burn. In the background.
Yeah, we have fires here. Like, we'll have a bonfire at my place, and we have palm fronds that we throw in, and it's just like whoosh.
Yeah.
You know.
There's no exception.
Yeah.
If some of these are blurry, I'm just borrowing these from the internet. To me, this was a kill city, my own term. They weren't letting people out of the city. They were making you stay there. That's your police department. The firemen didn't show up, or very few did. They turned the cell phones off, I hear, for the town.
Yep.
They also turned the water off in the town. This was planned, I don't know, 6 months or a year before. And all these larger entities are told or in on it to some degree. They're told what to do. Even your people in office.
Absolutely.
Charge of the island. If there's a good guy, they're not at their levels. All these people have a lot of evil in them.
The governor actually he put out an emergency proclamation with no emergency 3 weeks before the fire, and he suspended seven laws that affect housing and land development. And now, yesterday, they were just in Oahu, so they weren't even on Maui, and they had a meeting with, it looked like 20 to 25 people of unelected officials. The only elected official was the governor, And this is a meeting they were talking about Maui. And with the no sunshine law, which means it's people cannot bring testimony and they can't testify and say what they want. It's atrocious what they're doing.
Yeah, they make up the rules as they go along. This is nothing more than the billionaires club getting together and orchestrating destruction of the common people, wherever they are. If they want something, they've got a weapon now that's so unimaginable. They can do whatever they want. They control every news outlet. And I heard on Maui, you have the largest military base of the Hawaiian Islands. I don't know if that's true.
Yes.
So there's no stopping them as far as anything, you know, in that area. They tell the military, any branch, they tell them exactly what to do. And this is worldwide. And your military personnel are just used to saying, yes, sir,
yes,
following orders no matter what. They don't want them to think on their own and have a heart and some empathy and, you know, think for themselves. So it's just really hard to stop this. I know the whole Hawaiian people are really mad and they want to do something. I really don't know where to start. Get it out to the whole world, show all the information, show anomalies like I do that should have never happened, and talk about the whole infrastructure being shut down. And all the kids, of course. And
Oh my God.
There's so many categories. We hold all the evidence, but they hold all the cards. That's the hard part. They won't let us get on the media, on TV, and show stuff like this and talk about it. I could never get on the TV, you know, any of the six media giants in America. No. The truth will never get out unless we get it out like this with our cell phones, city calls, little meetings all over the planet, and educate them. That's the only way to get to them. It's a tough call.
Was it a conspiracy? Did you know that the police in Boston were broadcasting, "This is a drill, this is a drill," on bullhorns during the marathon? That the Boston Globe was tweeting that a demonstration bomb would be set off during the marathon for the benefit of bomb squad activities? And that one would be set off in 1 minute in front of the library, which happened as the Globe had announced. Peering through the smoke, you could see bodies with missing arms and legs. But there was no blood. The blood only showed up later and came out of a tube. They used amputee actors and a studio-quality smoke machine. Don't let yourself be played. Check out And Nobody Died in Boston Either. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
That the Capitol will ever treat us fairly. You are lying to yourselves. Because we know who they are and what they do. This is what they do, and we must fight back. You can torture us and bomb us. Fire is catching. And if we burn, you burn with us.
Good evening.
Are you awake yet? I hope. We've tried and we've tried for years and years to use passive resistance and loud voices to make a change. But time is over. Your governments around the world have no other goal than to decimate your entire existence. At the hands of the bankers and the elites. The war is coming, and it's your choice to decide if you want to be a warrior or a victim. Denial is not a choice. anymore. Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Not giving up. Revolution Radio.
It is no secret that the so-called mainstream media is best described as controlled propaganda. Countless news stories are either totally ignored or spun with half-truths, and because of this, essential facts and vital information are often compromised. Join Dr. Ott every Friday night on Studio B at 10 p.m. Eastern and learn why The Story Behind the Story was nominated for a Peabody Award in its second year of producing unparalleled broadcasting excellence in 1997. That is, if you really care about learning the truth.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates. You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
You've been listening to Robert Brame, a forensic arborist with more than 38 years of experience. Absolutely stunning stuff. Probably the single most authoritative report you're going to hear about what happened in Maui and Lahaina. The most notable fact that a palm tree survived the fires. Palm trees are particularly susceptible to ignition. They are like dried grass. A small flame will cause a dried frond to ignite in seconds. Yet we find unburned palm trees that survived an alleged wildfire that immolated houses and cars. The trees are wilted because a microwave-directed energy weapon sucked the moisture out of the trees, but they did not burn. Much like how moisture is sucked out of bread in a microwave oven. That is clear evidence the immolation of Lahaina was from directed energy weapons. Now, here's another video, an excellent overview with added background, which I think is going to make ever more sense. Check this out.
The recent fires in California, Australia, and now Hawaii are unlike anything we've ever seen before. They are being called forest fires and wildfires, but they are clearly something very different. These fires are burning homes into a white powdery ash footprint, while often leaving the surrounding green trees and shrubs practically untouched. In extreme cases, forest fires can reach temperatures up to 1,500 degrees Fahrenheit, and the melting point of aluminum is 1,220 degrees Fahrenheit. So it is possible for an extreme forest fire to melt aluminum. But there are cars with puddles of melted aluminum that were clearly not in the wildfire area. And melted glass, which has a melting point around 2,500 degrees Fahrenheit. These are unexplained anomalies. In the California fires of 2018, cars were randomly bursting into flames on the freeway with no surrounding fires. We've seen these same anomalies in New York City on September 11th, 2001. Cars completely burned out with no explanation. In Maui, these unnatural fires spared the homes of the rich while burning the native homes of the working class. With precision, these fires destroyed the most envied, high-valued areas of Maui. For decades, directed energy weapons have been classified, but they have been on the public record for several years now. Directed energy weapons, known as DEWs, have the ability to burn homes with this sort of precision. But in order to be this precise, the area would have to be mapped out. In January of this year, green lasers were seen over Hawaii, which could best be described as a geospatial array for mapping terrain. We have seen that among the ashy ruins, there are blue-colored objects that have somehow survived the devastation. Blue cars, blue umbrellas, a blue boat, blue planters. Videos online are going viral that show how lasers can easily burn through certain colored objects, but objects that are colored blue remain unharmed. Directed energy weapons include lasers, millimeter wave, and microwave. They are all based on light frequencies, and different wavelengths of light affect colors differently. For example, in laser tattoo removal, different wavelengths are used for removing different colors. And this is because color is a quality of light. Each color has its own frequency. Interestingly enough, the frequency of the color blue is 6.66. Reporting for InfoWars, this is Greg Reese.
Greg Reese has been doing some brilliant work, in my opinion. Meanwhile, John Kaminsky picks up here. Slaughter Day Matinee. Preview of coming attractions. Get your popcorn ready and settle in for the last days of your life. Which would you prefer, the blue laser or the poison jab? You have to take them at the word, you know. You can't just chalk it up to political hyperbole or boastful bragging. When they say they're going to reduce the world population, they mean it. And by now, you know, their diabolical project is well underway. What kind of masochistic madness could propel the most powerful men in the world to burn down civilization in the name of health? Or to devise a medicine that the more you took, the more likely it was going to kill you. Read this, then weep. The result of their study, shown graphically above, demonstrates that the more doses of the original vaccine you took, the more likely you were to catch COVID. In other words, the original COVID vax is not merely ineffective against Omicron, it is actually anti-effective. It is therefore not a vaccine against the present strain of COVID. It is an anti-vaccine. It damages your immune system in a close-dependent manner. The more shots you took, the more damage you will have done to your immune system. The writer first saw this from the PHE vaccine surveillance report and published his findings to PHE themselves and on my website and in the expose on October 10th of 2021, PHE, Public Health England, where the data is far more transparent. They're concealing it here, the CDC, the FDA, the NIH, big-time liars by both omission and commission. The science has now been established by the Cleveland Clinic. Genetic vaccine damage, genetic vaccines damage your immune system and make you not less likely, but more likely to be infected with COVID. Not only that, but they have horrendous side effects on the cardiovascular, neurological, and reproductive systems as well. They are nothing short of mandatory progressive euthanasia. And all your trusted leaders, your venerated anchormen, your pious preachers and pedophile teachers said, get the jab. It's the surest way to protect the ones you love. This was before the lady from Pfizer told the Dutch senator the clot shot was never tested for its ability to jump to others in a breath, a touch, or a kiss, which brought the definition of the word shedding into public consciousness like a pin-pulled hand grenade thrown into a small room of pregnant women. Real estate rape. Blue roofs are suddenly all over the news. No, not those blue tarps seen on the roofs of Florida houses in the latest hurricane. Those blue roofs are on certain telltale houses in Maui, the ones that weren't reduced to white ash after the recent Hawaii Holocaust. Funny how all those houses with the blue roofs seem to be owned by billionaires, Oprah, Zuck, Bezos, etc., all who immediately offered to buy the charred remains of houses that did not have the luck of having blue roofs, the ones in which the cinder corpses of children who were told to stay home from school that day, among the supposed 2,400 kids still missing. But the Hawaiian Holocaust, the proper definition of the word death of many by fire, was merely a bellwether symbol of what has been happening all over the world. Up and down the lush ravines of Canada, all over Africa and South America. The end is in sight, and it's all on fire. The end of humanity, I mean. Shrunken parameters of conscience. But fear not, there will be people left over. They will be obedient and docile with shrunken parameters of conscience. All those people had to die, we will say, so we could stay comfy and cozy. Smug Klaus Schwab contends all this is necessary to save the world, which is clearly overburdened with excess useless eaters. With the continents in flames deliberately set to save humanity, it became more obvious that humans were killing their own babies to gain favor with their god Moloch, posing as Yahweh, who demanded the sacrifice of their most precious possessions to prove their loyalty to this twisted demon from outer space, who had captured their demented minds by the overwhelming fear that the knowledge of their own upcoming death presented. No matter how we may struggle, no matter how many babies we will terminate before they make it out of their wombs, this fear will not go away. Babylonian death fear, my friend Jose once called it. The United States is sending so many weapons of mass destruction to be deliberately destroyed in Ukraine that it no longer has any weapons with which to defend itself, thereby encouraging the rest of the world to attack it. I think it's pretty clear by now that the monster known as America need to be put out of its disgusting, reprehensible, hensible, and utterly preventable misery. It's okay to slaughter unbelievers. This might be what it takes to actually find peace in the world, but even that won't do it. That will take the destruction of all religions, these mind control programs that falsely guarantee eternal life, and leave their parishioners killing each other to prove their God is the right one. You can read about it in the Old Testament. It's okay to slaughter the unbelievers, kill the men, and take the virgin girls, just like the Israelis do. Use some for body parts. Save the rest for rich men like Jeffrey Epstein, customers like Prince Andrew, like all the rotten humans who fake their beliefs rather than practice them. When Bill Gates touted vaccinations as the way to reduce the world's suppressed overpopulation, supposed overpopulation problem, most people thought that was just the way he talked. The same way he talked about computer software necessary to fix the bugs he deliberately stalled in his flawed Microsoft computers. Even the many countries, especially India, who wanted to throw him in jail for killing all those girls he sterilized with poison vaccines. call it the Henry Kissinger syndrome. Only Henry the K used bombs and bribes, which is a typical Jewish formula, always involving leering mass murder. Watch your neighbors burn. People in Kelowna and pristine McDougal Creek watch their neighbors across the lake burn to a crisp. Firemen wouldn't help them. They light backfires when the wind is blowing the wrong way. We saw that in Luhania. During the exercise, that turned Maui into a 15-minute city for billionaires. The homeless man walked to safety and wondered why the cops wouldn't let the people in cars escape the flames. They just sat there waiting for the judgment of the Illuminati. Let those people burn to death. We have better plans for their land, said the Jews who run Hawaii. This is a plan for the rest of us. That's why they burned up all those food processing plants. So this is your preview of coming attractions. Get your popcorn ready. Settle in for the last days of your life. Which would you prefer, the blue laser or the poison jab? I hate to say it. I think he's got it exactly right. And by the way, I'm ecstatic that John Kaminsky will be among the speakers at my 4th annual False Flag and Conspiracy Conference that will be held in mid-December. I'm putting together the program, and I have 18 or 20 truly excellent speakers lined up already for your benefit, and where the program is going to be free and open to the public this year, which I would have liked to have done in the past, but for technical reasons was unable to do so this year. It will be free and open to the public from beginning to end. There are other lesser stories to report. Here's a good one. Democrats have been denying elections since the 1970s. Suddenly it's a crime for Republicans to do so. With the Georgia grand jury's indictment of former President Donald Trump, the crooked Democrat-controlled justice system is trying to argue that refuting the results of the election makes you a criminal. But they seem to forget that it's been the Democrats who have spent decades refusing to accept election results. So where are the indictments for them? In this dystopian version of America, challenging the results of the election means you deserve to face a mountain of charges, but only if you're a Republican. Over the past years, prominent Democrats have denied election results time and time again, including President Joe Biden, Hillary Clinton, House Majority Leader Hakeem Jeffries, Representative Maxine Waters, the failed Georgia gubernatorial candidate Stacey Abrams, to name a few. Actually, every single Democrat president since the 70s has questioned the legitimacy of U.S. election with zero consequences. Both in 2013 and 2016, Biden claimed that Al Gore won the 2000 presidential election. Then in May of 2019, he said absolutely agrees Trump was an illegitimate president. Even while he was president, Biden suggested the 2022 midterm might be rigged. And of course, after the 2016 election, seven House Democrats attempted to object to the 2016 electoral votes, while 67 boycotted Trump's inauguration, claiming he was an illegitimate president. Failed Georgia gubernatorial candidate Stacey Abrams had been one of the most vocal Democrats in claiming that a rigged election is the only reason she lost. We won. I didn't lose. We got the votes, Abrams said. we were robbed of an election. Despite there being no evidence, Abrams has spent years crying about her defeat in the 2018 race, and other Democrats have supported her baseless claims. Senator Cory Booker said, "I think that Stacey Abrams' election had been stolen from her." Senator Elizabeth Warren added, "The evidence seems to suggest the race was stolen from Stacey Abrams." Hillary Clinton said, "Stacey Abrams would have won Georgia's gubernatorial race if she had a fair election, and that Abrams should be governor, but was deprived of the vote she otherwise would have gotten." But when we're talking about Democrat election denialism, how could we ever forget failed presidential candidate Hillary Clinton, who claims to this day that 2016 was stolen, despite the fact we now know it was she who tried to rig the 2016 election in her favor. Like the rest of her left-wing pals, Hillary has faced no consequences for the apparent crime that is questioning the results of the election, and now she's even going around laughing about Trump's indictments. After laughing about all the charges the former president had been hit with, Hillary claimed during a recent interview with MSNBC's Rachel Maddow that all of the efforts by Donald Trump, his allies, and his enablers to try to silence the truth, to try to undermine democracy, have been brought into the air, and justice is being pursued. Democrats know how outrageous it is that they've gotten the Justice Department to go along with their charade, and now they're laughing in our faces. I have no doubt that's exactly what's taking place. Meanwhile, and you heard our expert report that they're claiming these wildfires are caused by climate change. Over 1,600 scientists and professionals sign no climate emergency declaration from the Epoch Times. International scientists have jointly signed a declaration dismissing the existence of a climate crisis and insisting that carbon dioxide is beneficial to Earth. There is no climate emergency, the Global Climate Intelligence Group said in its World Climate Declaration made public in August. Climate science should be less political, while climate policy should be more scientific. Scientists should openly address uncertainties and exaggerations in their predictions of global warming, while politicians should dispassionately count the real costs as well as the imagined benefits of their policy measures. A total of 1,609 scientists and professionals from around the world have signed the declaration, including 321 from the United States. The coalition pointed out that Earth's climate has varied as long as it has existed, with the planet experiencing several cold and warm phases. The Little Ice Age only ended as recently as 1850, they said. Therefore, it is no surprise we're experiencing a period of warming. Warming is happening far slower than predicted by the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change. Climate models have many shortcomings and are not remotely plausible as policy tools, the coalition said, adding, "These models exaggerate the effect of greenhouse gases and ignore the fact that enriching the atmosphere with CO2 is beneficial. For instance, even though climate alarmists characterize CO2 as environmentally damaging, the coalition pointed out the gas is not a pollutant. Carbon dioxide is essential to all life on Earth and is favorable for nature. Extra CO2 results in the growth of global plant biomass, while also boosting the yields of crops worldwide." The same organization dismissed the narrative of global warming being linked to increasing natural disasters like hurricanes, floods, and droughts, stressing there's no statistical evidence to support these claims. There is no climate emergency. Therefore, there is no cause for panic and alarm. We strongly oppose a harmful and unrealistic net zero CO2 policy proposed for 2015. Go for adaptation instead of mitigation. Adaptation works, whatever the causes are. And here you can see there's no correlation between the amount of CO2 in the atmosphere and the temperature of Earth. No correlation. Given the absence of correlation, there can be no causation. There's a virtually perfect correlation between the use of vaccines and autism. The more vax, the more autism. The less vax, the less autism. Even then, Big Pharma wants to argue that there's not a causal relationship. We had the same thing with big tobacco and smoking. The evidence that smoking caused cancer was statistically overwhelming, yet they insisted there was no causal. Well, if they can claim there's no causal, even when there's a perfect correlation, it's preposterous to claim there's causation when there is no correlation. I mean, absurd. Joe Olson and I have done a series of 10 different hour-long programs about this. You can find on my BitChute channel, Jim Fetzer. This is a total fraud. Four, to believe the outcome of a climate model is to believe what the model makers have put in. This is precisely a problem of today's climate discussion, to which climate models are central. We'll be back and we'll take your calls on this Labor Day. Stand by.
Management would like to take a moment to thank the listeners and hosts for all their support that has made Revolution Radio one of the biggest platforms for free speech in an ever-growing dark world of censorship. Unfortunately, this platform for free speech has never been free. We need the support of the people. It is the people like you, yes, you, that keeps the station in the front lines of the battle against tyranny and oppression. Please help support Revolution Radio so free speech will not be silenced in a world that seems to be going deaf to the real truth. With your support, we will be able to become an even bigger pillar of light in a dark world.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Revolution Radio.
Revolution Radio every Wednesday 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Studio B for Momentary Zen with host Zen Garcia at freedomslips.com, the People Station.
Even the government admits that 9/11 was a conspiracy. But did you know that it was an inside job, that Osama had nothing to do with it? that the Twin Towers were blown apart by a sophisticated arrangement of mini or micro nukes. That Building 7 collapsed 7 hours later because of explosives planted in the building. Barry Jennings was there. He heard them go off and felt himself stepping over dead people. The U.S. Geological Survey conducted studies of dust gathered from 35 locations in Lower Manhattan and found elements that would not have been there had this not been a nuclear event. Ironically, that means the government's own evidence contradicts the government's official position. 9/11 was brought to us compliments of the CIA, the neocons of the Department of Defense, and the Mossad. Don't let yourself be played. Read America Nuked on 9/11. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates. You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
And, of course, these climate models that are predicting catastrophe reflect the well-known principle of computer science, GIGO, garbage in, garbage out. So if you introduce the wrong data or the premises, or you're going to get a result wildly discrepant from what would be reasonable to anticipate. I think this report here is actually nailing it exactly. That carbon dioxide is essential to all life on Earth and is favorable for nature. Extra CO2 results in the growth of global plant biomass while also boosting the yield of crops worldwide. Now remember, John Kaminsky was observing, they're destroying the food production facilities. They've done a thorough job. They have done reconnaissance. If you want to destroy a very large segment of human life on Earth, they have mapped out a plan to do it, and they are proceeding. That's what you have to understand. This isn't just an idea. This isn't just a fantasy. This is a plan for mass genocide worldwide. What you saw in Maui is just a little trivial extension where the ultra-rich just wanted to secure this extremely valuable real estate. They don't want anyone else to have anything of value. They want it all. Brian, you're here. Glad. Join me. Your thoughts.
Can I mention your inconvenient truth that you do with King? That is just so good. It's one thing I look forward to every Monday morning when I fire up the computer. And I wanted to comment on, he had the thing with Madonna, okay, the last one.
Yeah.
You know what I'm, okay. I don't know if you noticed, but she came down those steps through two pillars of, you know, light that had rays making up the two pillars, and there were six rays on each side of her. So she came down to 6'6". I couldn't find the third six. I didn't get enough time to evaluate and see where it was. And Madonna's part of Shabbat, okay? And Shabbat is like the worst thing ever as far as Judaism. Prashigan is part of Shabbat, Zelensky. So when Prashigan was taken out in Russia, that just made my day because it showed me that Putin's forces of the light are fighting back. So anyway, and that was Prashigan's job, was to somehow make Putin look bad so that they could disrupt Russia. Okay, and if you go to that speech given by Menachem Mendel Schneerson in 1994, how they were going to destabilize Russia and Ukraine and get a war going to annihilate the Amalek, the Goyim, you know, it all just fits. So anyway, Those Shabbat people are horrible.
That's great stuff, Brian. I like what you're saying there. Stay here. Paul's joining us, and the three of us can continue our conversation. Paul, join the conversation.
Yeah. So what do we do, right, Jim? I mean, I think you can see now what I've been saying for years, that politics is irrelevant. These all these politicians are just paper mache chess pieces. You know, they're bought and sold, and yeah. By the way, I hate to correct, but I don't know why you were saying arborist, you know, as arborist. It's arbor. And then it's also Lahaina, like high, Lahaina, not Lahaina.
You're right, Paul. I there are lots of words that I don't always get right, so I appreciate that. No, I think it's very clear the elite just are out to commit mass murder, and they couldn't care about shit. They don't care if we even know what's happening. Their power is so great. Their arrogance is simply unrivaled. I think we are in the midst of a global catastrophe, and it's, I just don't see any obvious way out of it. Your thoughts?
Yeah, well, it's kind of helpless, right? We're just, I mean, let's face it, the mentality of most people is going to be hoping it's not me, right? I mean, what, those that are aware of this, obviously most people are blissfully unaware, you know, but those of us who are aware, I mean, what can you do? Just like, hope it's not you, right? I mean, just think about that. Obviously, they've purchased the military, okay? or the important parts of the military, they have basically bought. It really is literally like the movie Idiocracy. Remember when Brando simply bought the government? So it's... By the way, too, if you're interested, I can get you in touch with Robert Brame. He actually lives in the Bay Area. Yeah, we've
Paul,
we've
that would be super. I was thinking how much I'd like to invite him on the show and to be a speaker at my conference in December. Excellent.
Yeah, well, you know, probably 4 weeks ago, maybe or so, right around there, I think I spoke. At that time, he was somewhat reluctant to... you know, make lots of appearances and, you know, get really involved. Maybe you would say slightly apprehensive, but now apparently not. He's been out there doing interviews. I think he's had a little bit of a change. But we talked for a better part of an hour or so. He's just a regular guy. He's, you know, he still works as an arborist, and, you know, he likes to hike. And in fact, he actually said, you know, hey, we should go for a hike sometime. I was sort of thinking, I'm not so sure I want to be near you.
You mean because he's a big target?
Well, you know, yeah, just a way of making a joke, yeah. But it's really not, it's not a laughing matter in reality. I don't know what, I don't know if you can tell by my tone. There's a number of things that, you know, my tone convey. Part of it's, you know, in my, my personal life as well. But still, you look at this stuff and you realize, again, what I mean, obviously voting is absurd.
Well, not necessarily go there, but I mean, obviously so many of these elections are rigged now. I mean, since Obama put the our electoral system into FirstNet by declaring it to be infrastructure, and they can now manipulate the vote down to the precinct level. Yeah, I think we're in dire straits. But I can tell a certain sobriety in your tone today, Paul, that is really reflective of the seriousness of the situation, the plight all of humanity confronts today. I mean, it's unbelievable, really, truly. Go ahead.
I was going to say. That, and I did lay those points with Wisconsin, you know, and it was an obvious mistake. I should never have done that.
Oh, because we didn't make the spread?
It's like 30 and a half. Are you kidding me? I can't wait to go against them the next time there's a big lay.
Well, no, I'll tell you, the game with Washington State on Saturday is going to be no picnic.
they are better worry you.
I am worried. They are very good. And of course they defeated us last year, which was a surprising upset, but it happened. And I'm not going to take anything for granted. Yeah, I think we got a 6-point edge right now in the odds. But we had 27 and a half or up to 28 before this game with Buffalo. And I was there, Paul. I was there at the game in the stadium. And I was very surprised by how robust the Bulls, the Buffalo Bulls, not Bills, but Bulls, they were really quite good. And both teams were no huddle, so there were a lot of plays. I mean, there wasn't any delay. I mean, they do one play, and then they shape up to another play, and there's no huddle on either side.
That makes for a good spectator event, yeah, when they do that. But, yeah, just your comment, I'll leave alone. You go back to Brian here, but you talked about elections and the rigging. But, see, what I said, and I think you realize it's true, whether they're rigged or not rigged, it does not matter. In other words, with what's going on, I mean, let's face it, there's an obvious apparatus here, you know, behind everything, including, you know, the current presidency, right? I mean, you yourself did the work on the fake Joe Biden. Of course, many other people were online talking about the fake White House set. So what kind of world are we living in here? There's an apparatus that is presenting us with a reality that is not real. And so, therefore, whether an election is rigged or not rigged is also, in my opinion, quite irrelevant.
Paul, you make a good point. Brew, I'm delighted to have you here today on Labor Day. Give us your thoughts, my friend.
Well, I voted for Clinton twice, Obama twice. Even Giuseppe voted for. Even Giuseppe voted for Obama at least once.
This is a parody of me. Go ahead.
If it wasn't for that boob job and the large shaving bill, I might have gone all the way. I don't know.
Oh my! How refreshing! Alrighty. How are things in
Chicago
these days? The murder capital of the universe.
Well, how do you lose your life in 3 feet of water with the bump in the back of the head and missing your clothes? What's going on here?
That's good. You got the bump in the head, and then they lost the blood sample. I think he was doing crack with Tafari, and they had a falling out, just like Paul Pelosi and David had a falling out. And
well,
David
Hold your horses. We've been listening to it. We've been listening to you tell this story with a bunch of assumptions. You get like even you get into, well, it could be manslaughter or second or third degree murder. You're totally assuming. We have no evidence, nothing except for the official narrative story that they're burying and whatever evidence that goes along with it, telling us a BS story. So whatever crime they're attempting to cover up, for the time being, they're covering up. We have no, it doesn't even matter. You start saying, oh, well, it could be second-degree murder, third-degree murder. You don't know because you just don't know. So please pull it back, whether it be drugs involved, whether Obama was there, whether Michael was there, or, you know, or the gardener. We don't know anything. So you're making you're telling these stories, Jim, recently that are just pure assumptions, and you're leading the audience into something that doesn't exist.
I got kind of floored by that verbal onslaught. I've been very patient in going over the evidence. We had the anonymous phone call. They're not even identifying who called in. Somebody who is supposed to have been at the Obama home, from which I don't think you could even see the pond. So that appears to have been a plant to make it look as though the guy was alive. They say he was dressed all in black and went into the water and then resurfaced. So was someone up there at the house watching on binoculars? Then you have
the report of a second.
Brew, you have gone on an onslaught here. I'm going to respond. And we have the report of a second paddle boat. They won't identify either. What's going on there? They said he couldn't swim when he turns out to be able to swim very competently. The water was only 3 feet deep. It was reported as 8 feet deep. He did have a bump on the back of his head. His body was found separate from his clothing. So what was this, naked paddle boarding? Obama winds up with bandages on his hand and a black eye. That's not just coincidental. And a caller suggests, I think astutely, that he might have bit Obama in the hand. And now they have the blood sample lost. I'm sorry to say, Brew, all the evidence is there. Now, if you can't put it together, I'm a...
Well, no, I mean,
I've given you credit for a lot of smarts in the past, but what you're saying here, attacking me over this thing in Martha's Vineyard, is in defense.
I'm not attacking you. I'm not attacking you.
What you're saying is so indefensible, Brew. I'm really embarrassed that you would make those kind of ridiculous arguments.
We know what perverted criminal people these are. People are sinister. They're evil. There's no doubt in my mind. They have literally, with their own hands, murdered people, children, women. It doesn't matter. We know the sinister. Our imaginations could just wrap our heads around it. But these people, the mainstream media, the police departments, the authorities, the FBI, they lie, they lie, they lie. And they even throw out lies to throw us off the trail. Even the falsify, like, oh, well, we found this as evidence. How do we know? Is it official? Because they even lie about that stuff just to throw us off in the different trails. Why did Obama show up at a golf course with bandages on his hands and a black eye? You'd think he'd want to be out of public with that stuff healed up or concealed or a glove on or something. But instead, they're putting him in public. So we could assume, oh, well, look, you think they're that stupid? So they just throw us off into these rabbit trails.
They want us to say things that we can't prove. They're just amateurs, Brew. They're not used to killing people and disposing of bodies. They thought it made more sense for him to keep to his routine than to vary from his routine. I think your arguments are so far off base. I'm really kind of floored. And it's not as though all this evidence were easily accessible. Judicial Watch had to dig in to get under Freedom of Information report that showed he wasn't even wearing clothing, that his clothing was separate from his body. I'm sorry, you're being somehow hyper sophisticated,
Fed up with all the garbage that we're dealing with, and we're trying to rip it apart like it's the old days, and we're no longer in the old days. Okay, this isn't a new world order. It's them trying to bring in the old world order where everybody's a slave and a knowing slave. Not just, we're in the slave system, but a knowing slave tagging people with these bioweapons, not just harming them and killing them, but literally tagging them as property when they get these injections. This is how far gone we have come. And like many in this listening audience, we're all just fed up. There's no making sense of it anymore. Look what just happened to Joe Biggs. You've heard the Joe Biggs, 17 years over lies. The judge turned around and said, oh, it's an act of terrorism as bad as September 11th and the Boston bombing. Well, we both know those are all hoaxes and lies. So this, we got a judge saying there's an act of terrorism. Joe Biggs touched the fence. He touched the fence. That's what he did. That's his crime as an act of terrorism. He touched the fence, and they're saying it's an act of terrorism as bad as 9/11 or September 11th and the Boston bombing. Well, the Boston bombing, we know for a fact, was a FEMA drill, a hoax. The whole thing was a movie, and then September 11th is nothing near what they ever freaking told us. So what do you got for a federal judge in the system continuing lies and ruling on people with those lies? Go ahead.
Take a breath, Brew. Okay, so...
Hey, Brian, go ahead, Paul. Then I'll bring Brian. Go ahead.
So Brew makes a point here. It's worth remembering. And okay, I'm not defending what he's saying or what you... I'm just saying, let's take it easy, not be too defensive here of our positions. But, how do we know what's real and what's not? I'd even question the reality of this sentence of Joe Briggs. Is that real? If we're not there, we don't know. If we don't see these people in jail, I think one of the things that reading Miles Mathis over more than half a decade has done, for my mind anyway, say what you will, people throw all kinds of stuff out there, but he points out stuff that should be obvious that's not so obvious. And one of the things that I learned from his very first paper, okay, is I no longer believe that Charles Manson was actually ever in jail, and that there's more than one Charles Manson. He showed it with the different looks that he had. You know, it was just like there's more than one Joe Biden. So what is it that we're really looking at in this world when we look at a news story, whether it be Obama's chef drowning in feet of water or whatever? In other words, he's just – Bruce making a point that I'm not sure he meant any offense to you, Jim, but – it's like, how do we know what's real and what isn't anymore if we're looking at it in the newspaper, television, radio, et cetera?
Yeah, but that's – but, Paul, that's my role here to sort these things out and give you my best interpretation. Let me go to Brian. Brian, your thoughts. Brian.
Well, as I said before, we live in illusion. Everything is illusion. Your water's got fluoride in it. It's not real water. Your food is GMO'd. You go to church, you get fake spirituality. I will say it again, time as we know it is illusion. It creates that flat earth illusion that seems real. You know, you can go through every single item in this world and there's some aspect of it that's not real. And that's where all this problem comes in from. It's the fact that it's a black magic ritual that we live in, and they make everything that's real unreal. And you know, your president, your everything is not real. We live in illusion.
Well, Brian, yeah, I get it. I mean, we are subjected to so much propaganda. But remember, distinguishing between reality and illusion is a classic philosophical issue. In all my contributions to scientific reasoning, I emphasize the role of likelihoods. Assume alternative hypotheses are true and then ask what's the probability of the available evidence if they were true. What's the probability if there actually was a bona fide legitimate drowning here? If they lose a blood sample, they find the clothing separate from the body. Obama would have these injuries with his hand and a black eye. Very low. What's the probability if, in fact, there was something untoward here and Obama and Tafari were having a gay sex tryst on coke and things went awry? Then all those things have a high probability. And I think maybe Brew just hasn't figured out the nature of inference to the best explanation, which is indirect. It's not simple. They're going to come out and spell out for us in an official report. Everyone knows that. We know we're going to get nothing but garbage from the officials. But when it turns out they lose a blood sample, why would they lose a blood sample? This virtually never happens. And you've got a case involving a past president. They lost him because there was something in the blood sample that would have revealed. It would have been crack cocaine, something like that, or some other drug that is used to engage sex. Yeah.
But I've tried to make this point to you. Please, let's not spend any time on this. All this is just, it's celebrity titillation, okay? It's completely and totally irrelevant and scurry.
I don't think it is, but I'm just making a point.
I don't want to spend any more time on the show on it. And to be honest with you, I don't know if the listeners really want to hear any more about Obama and his chef, because again, it's celebrity and it's basically all just a bunch of titillation. I do want to make a point, Paul.
If they weren't, if they weren't wanting to run Michelle. If they weren't wanting to put Michelle on the ticket for 2024.
But who cares? The whole point of your show, what did I just say earlier? It's all pointless. Michelle, Obama, Joe Biden, Trump, are you kidding me? We got way bigger problems. But again, in the time remaining, I'm sure I can be on again and have a couple of minutes, but I want to just tackle something else. It's unrelated, but you mentioned it multiple times earlier in the show when you talked about the immune system. And people keep using this term over and over again. And I'm sure Michael Ivey, if he's listening, would be glad to hear this. But if you really saturate yourself in this topic and you really get into the work of all the people that we have both mentioned before, okay, you'll come to the conclusion that this is in my opinion, a mistake to use this term. I don't really think there is such a thing as the immune system that they make reference to all the time, and especially when it comes to contagion, because since virology is a myth and a fraud, and the title of the book is The Myth of Contagion by Tom Cowan, makes clear that viruses don't make us sick and bacteria don't make us sick either. The products of bacterial metabolism are toxins. And so what do toxins do in the body? They basically rob you of your electrical energy. And it can be general and it can be localized. And the reason people get well is because they can restore electrical energy. This is what vitamin C, large doses, does so well. Okay, it facilitates electron transfer. So when you understand illness, okay, again, this just points to what Brian said earlier too about this world of illusion and inversion. There's no such thing as an immune system, in my humble opinion. And when you bury yourself into the topic, you realize that is as big a fraud on humanity as anything else. So thanks for hearing that.
Yeah, well, you're entitled to your opinion, and you express it very well, Paul. I think the idea of denying a human immune system is about as ridiculous from the point of view of biology, evolution, and science as one could take.
Why would it be ridiculous?
But Paul, we're almost to the end today on Labor Day. I want to give Brew an opportunity to say in a few more words. Brew, go ahead. Squeeze them in.
Now, my discernment of things, life, whatever, is still up to par, okay? I might not voice that. I keep a very mellow tone. I listen more than I use my mouth these days. And my discernment's in overdrive. I have to, because the information comes so fast. I like to see us squashed. We have so much information. Let's just take Sandy Hook, for instance. I like to see us squash this once and for all. I like to see us squash this whole narrative about it being an insurrection for January 6th. I like to see us squash that, because innocent people are getting railroaded. They are literally in jail. And whatnot. You say all you want about the Alex Jones case in Sandy Hook, but Joe Biggs and a bunch of these other people being in jail, that is true. Thank you.
We're about to be squashed by the break here. Thank you, guys. Thank you, Brian. Thank you, Paul. Thank you, Brew. Even if we may disagree, I'm really glad you called in. Excellent. I wish everyone a wonderful Labor Day. And we're all glad to have Revolution Radio here for us to share our views. Thank you for being here. Have a great day.
Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio.
Enter into a world unseen on Raven Star's Witching Hour. You will encounter eclectic topics from the realm of spirit brought into our matrix of truth. With your host, the Solaris Blue Raven, Solaris will bring you an array of unique guests covering topics from ghostly spirits to amazing anomalies, covert technology, UFOs, and shadowy global events.
And that's right here, Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, Saturdays, midnight till 2 a.m. Eastern Time. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
Let the magic rise.
This is Thomas, a.k.a. a Mad Painter. I'd like you to join me Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for Open Canvas. Don't forget to bring an open mind.
Yes, folks, that's right. Bring an open mind to an open canvas. Again, that is Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern. UFOs to government corruption. This is Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. You don't need to expect us. We're already here.
We did not engage in conflict that was out of line with our mission.
Is it disloyalty? Is it sedition? Is it treason to oppose the hands of tyranny? Never!
I will never send troops anywhere on a mission of that kind without telling them that if somebody shoots at them, they can darn well shoot back.
I know not what course others may take, but as for me, give me liberty! Oh, give me!
A dark cloud is finally lifting across the world as U.S. military intelligence and their